Well, please have your Bibles open at the passage of Scripture that we read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 5. And we're looking at the section beginning with verse 8. Now, in this part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians from chapter 4 onwards, he's been talking about how we should live our daily lives, or as he puts it, how we should walk. We are to have a walk that is worthy of our calling with which we are called, he said. We've been called by Christ to follow him. We've been saved through his sacrifice on the cross. We've been born again with spiritual life. We have the Holy Spirit within us as a guarantee of our eternal destiny, eternal life with Christ in heaven. As Christians, we have been greatly blessed by God, and therefore our lives should be very different to those who are not Christians. We've already seen in this section how we should live as Christians in the church, and now we are looking at how we should live in the world. We are on our way to heaven, but at this point, we are still in the world. A world that is at enmity with God. A world in which there is so much sin and evil. As we've been referring to all the sin and the evil that's going on in Syria at this time. There's so many evil influences in the world to draw us away from following Christ. So Paul has written this letter to the church in Corinth, the church at Ephesus, to encourage them and to encourage us and to instruct us how we should live as Christians. Well, last time we looked at the first seven verses, and it began with verse 1 of chapter 5, where it says, "Be imitators of God as dear children." And we went on to see that we were to walk in love. But now we come to verse 8, which tells us here that we are to walk in light. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The first thing I want us to see from this passage is the contrast between darkness and light. Paul uses this distinction between darkness and light to show us a difference between people who are Christians and people who are not. And there are many such distinctions in the scriptures. Scriptures refers to those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. It refers to the godly and the ungodly, to those who are dead and those who have been made alive. This reminds us that there is a distinction. Either we are Christians or we are not. And we need to establish which we are. Here, a Christian is described as being light in the Lord. "Once we were darkness," Paul said, "but now we are light in the Lord." Now, there are many references to light and darkness in the Bible. Jesus referred to himself as light in John chapter 8, verse 12. "I am the light of the world," he said. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Referring to the coming of Jesus, many years before he actually came into the world, the prophet Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And when Jesus came and began his ministry on earth, the apostle John, speaking of Jesus, said this, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." This means that although Jesus came and caused his light, the light of the gospel, to shine in the world, those who were walking in darkness did not see it. They did not understand it. They did not understand who Jesus is. The darkness that these verses are referring to, of course, is spiritual darkness. It's describing a world where people have no spiritual life. What Paul referred to earlier in this letter as being dead in trespasses and sins. It describes people who have no understanding of spiritual things. They have no meaningful relationship with God. They are not aware that God is not pleased with them because they are not honoring Him as their Maker. They are not obeying His word, the Bible. They are not walking in the way that God requires. They are not aware that the day will come when they have to stand before God and give an account of their lives. They are not aware that if they continue to live as they are, God will judge them and will condemn them to an existence of eternal misery when they die. They are ignorant of these things because they are walking in darkness. They cannot see what is wrong with their lives. They cannot see where they are going because they are walking in darkness. Paul is writing here to Christians, and he says to them, you were once darkness. He can say that because that is the condition of every member of the human race when we were first born. We were in darkness with no spiritual life within us. We were walking in darkness, heading for a lost eternity, and we were completely unaware of it. But he says, but now you are light in the Lord. You were once darkness, but now you are light. And those of us that are Christians can rejoice because we have seen the light. We have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen the danger of the path that we were walking on. We have seen the true condition of our spiritual lives have been shown by the light. We've seen the awfulness of our sin and the desperate situation that we were in, and we have come to the light. We've come to Christ for salvation, and our lives have been transformed as we've discovered more and more about how we should really live. So Paul instructs us here to walk as children of light, to live our lives in communion with God in a way that is pleasing to Him. But sadly, in our nation today, there is much spiritual darkness, more than there's been for many years. The majority of people in our nation today are walking in darkness. They have no interest in the things of God, no understanding that they can only be right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. They're still in the dark. And even though as Christians we try and show people their desperate need, we try and persuade them through preaching and teaching and by the example of our lives, we plead with them to be reconciled to God, we explain all that God has done to save them, even to the point of sacrificing His own Son on a cross, most of them don't want to know, because they're walking in darkness. They can't see that there is anything wrong with their lives. They can't see their desperate need and the horror of their eternal destiny. Oh, we are so blessed if we're Christians today. Because as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice that we have seen the light and are following the Lord Jesus Christ along the path that leads to heaven. So there is a contrast between darkness and light. But there's another contrast here in these verses, the contrast between being fruitful or unfruitful. The contrast between walking in darkness and in light doesn't just refer to whether or not we can see where we are going spiritually. it also refers to how we live. Notice here that Paul doesn't actually refer to us as Christians as those who have seen the light. What he says is that we are now light, light in the Lord. And likewise, he doesn't refer to those who are not Christians, who are still in the dark, doesn't refer to them as being still in the dark, but that they are darkness. Our whole character, the way we believe, the way we live and behave is affected. If we are light, then we will produce spiritual fruit. If we are darkness, then our lives will be unfruitful. Whether or not we are walking in light or darkness has a dramatic effect on how we live our lives. He tells us here that now we are light in the Lord, then we are to walk as children of light. We are to walk in a way that pleases God. And we can do that because we have the light of the knowledge of God in our lives. Our whole being has been transformed by the light. We are now able to live in a relationship with God. We will have a meaningful life that will produce fruit. A life that is honouring to God and pleasing to Him. A life that He will use to show others their need of a saviour. But those who are walking in darkness do not produce fruit. Paul warns us as Christians to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We must not be influenced by them, because they are still walking the path that leads to destruction. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Jesus said of people that did not believe in him as the Saviour sent from God, that they were condemned. And the reason that they are condemned, Jesus said, is the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They are darkness, producing the unfruitful works of darkness, works that are evil. Well then, let's look at spiritual fruit thirdly. Verse 9 in our reading is in brackets. It is an explanation of what it means to walk in the light as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth. As we have seen, talking to the boys and girls in the natural world, light is necessary to bring colour to plants. It's also necessary to bring forth fruit. Without light, our crops would not grow. And that is one reason why the first thing that God created was light. The same is true for us. If we are to live a meaningful and useful life, once we have been brought out of darkness into the light, once we have become light in the Lord and start to walk in the light, then we will begin to bear fruit, spiritual fruit, described here as goodness, righteousness, and truth. These, of course, are characteristics of God, aren't they? He is a God who is good, who is perfectly right and perfect truth. And when we walk in the light, these characteristics will begin to be seen in us. This is a gradual process, a bit like that hyacinth that was brought into the light. Over a period of time, the colour came back. Well, as we walk the Christian path, more and more of God's characteristics will be seen in us. A gradual process as we are being changed by the Holy Spirit to be more and more like Christ. God is good. It is the goodness of God, through the goodness of God, that we have been brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we've been brought into the light. In the world there is so much selfishness and greed. Those who are out to satisfy their own lusts and desires. Those who want power and influence over others with no thought of their welfare. But when we walk in the light, we'll be different. We will have a concern for others. A concern for those who are suffering or who are in need. But in particular, a concern for their souls. That they too should come to Christ and see the light. We will not be selfish or self-centered, but we will seek to do good to all. God is the perfect standard of righteousness. It is how he expects us to live. And although we can never meet that standard ourselves, and God has had to make provision for us in Christ by placing Christ's righteousness on our account when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, that is still the standard that we are to aim for, that we are working towards. Even though as Christians we are no longer under the law, but under grace, the Ten Commandments are still our guide. They are still relevant to us. And so we are to seek to honour God and to love him with all our heart, all our mind, soul and strength. And we are to seek to love our neighbour as ourselves. And then God is truth. And his word, the Bible, is absolutely true. There is so much dishonesty in the world today, and many people are out to deceive us. We don't know who to believe or who we can trust. But those who walk in the light are different. We should be truthful and honest and above board. We should be someone who can be trusted, whose word can be trusted. Those of us who are Christians, who are walking as children of light, should stand out as being different. Verse 10 tells us we need to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to discover his will as we read his word, the Bible, and then put it into practice in our lives. Those around us should see that we are very different. They should see something of God's goodness, righteousness and truth. This is the spiritual fruit that should be seen in us. And then fourthly, we have here in verse 11, the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul is exhorting us here to walk as children of light, to walk a path of goodness, righteousness and truth, for this is the only path that bears fruit. It is the only path that will have any spiritual benefit for our souls. It is the only path that leads to heaven. Those who are still walking in darkness are rushing headlong to a lost eternity. There is nothing about their lives that bears spiritual fruit. All that they do in life can only be described as the unfruitful works of darkness. And some of the practices of people who are not Christians, who are not being obedient to God's word, are so disgraceful and disgusting that it is shameful even to speak of them, Paul says. Things that are done in secret under the cover of darkness. Such things as fornication, stealing, drunkenness, foolish jesting, foolish talking. We are certainly not to have fellowship with those who practice such things. But in fact, anything that they practice is of no spiritual value if they're not walking in light. Their lives are meaningless, without real purpose. And as Christians, we must be aware that we do not go down such paths. Instead, we are to expose them. How do we do that? Well, people who are walking in darkness do not realize where they're heading because they cannot see. They're in the dark. So it's our responsibility as Christians to help them see, to cause our light to shine. Our lives should be so radically different that they are like lights shining in the darkness. It is when the light shines into the darkness that dangers are seen. When their deeds are exposed. When their life is shown up for what it is. They are walking the course of this world, Paul, as Paul said in chapter 2, conducting themselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath, walking a path where they will ultimately have to face the wrath of God. How different the path of one who is walking in the light, one who is living a holy and contented life in fellowship with God, one who is at peace with God, walking a path that leads to heaven where we have a glorious future awaiting us, a future that is guaranteed. We are walking in the light of the gospel, where Jesus has gone before us to prepare the way, and we are being led by the Holy Spirit, who will bring us safely home to glory. Well, lastly, we see here, it's a time to wake up. Verse 14. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This appears to be a quotation, but we can't be exactly sure of its source. Some commentators link it with Isaiah 26:19 or Isaiah 60 verse 1. Others think it may be a verse of a hymn that was used in the early church. But it does seem that Paul's readers would have been familiar with it. But clearly, it's a call to wake up and to rise from the dead. And the words, therefore, he says, show that this is a call from God. But is he addressing a Christian or the unbeliever? Well, in my view, the verse can be applied to both. In the preceding verses, he's been reminding us as Christians that we are to walk in the light. Therefore, we must walk as children of light. We must arise and shine in the darkness of this world. We must have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We must not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So this is a call, firstly, to those who've just become Christians, who've just started walking the Christian life. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins, but have now been made alive in Christ. You are to wake up and arise from the dead life that you've been living and live the life that you've been saved for. You are to walk as children of light. But it's also a call to Christians who are not making progress in the Christian life. And I believe that there are many in our day. Those who have been saved, but for whom worldliness and material things still hold an attraction. This is holding them back. It's stopping them from making spiritual progress. They are not walking as children of light. Although they've been raised with Christ, they are still living as though they were spiritually dead. So this verse is saying to such people, wake up. You've been brought into the light of the gospel. And we must now live in the world as Christians. We must cause our light to shine. Although we must not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, we are not to cut ourselves off from the world. The practice of shutting ourselves in a way in a monastery or something similar is contrary to the teaching of scriptures. We are to live in the world so that people can see that our lives have been transformed, so that they can see that we are different, so that they can see that we have a future and a hope, that we have a sense of peace. Peace with God, that we are sure of where we are going, the way we live our lives should cause people to come and to ask us the reason for the hope that is within us. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew 5:14, he said this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The way that we live as Christians should cause others to glorify God. That's a challenge, isn't it? Is your life having that effect as you live in the world? Does the way that you live, your life, challenge those that you meet every day? Do they see something of the glory of Christ reflected in you? So the challenge for us as Christians is to arise and to live the life that we've been saved for, to have a walk that is worthy of our calling. We are to walk as children of light. But this verse can also be applied to those who are still not Christians, those who are still walking in darkness. The word verse begins with the word therefore. And in the previous verses, we've read that when Christians are walking as children of light, when our lives do stand out as being different, then the light that we bring exposes the unfruitful works of darkness. And when the light shows to people how great their sins are, when they see how different they are to those who are at peace with God, when they see their desperate situation and need for a radical change, then we must take every opportunity of pointing them to Christ. I wonder, does this apply to anyone here today? Have you become aware that you're not living in obedience to God? That you are not at peace with Him? Then this verse calls on you to awake and turn to Christ. To repent of your sin and trust in Christ to save you and to change your life. So that Christ will give you life. That He will fill you with His Spirit so that you will be able to live a meaningful life and produce meaningful spiritual fruit. It is my prayer that God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, will shine in your hearts to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that you will turn to Christ and follow Him, and that you will know peace with God and the joy of sins forgiven. Amen.